Welcome. You are listening to the Learning to Believe Again podcast with your host, Brittany Bexton.
Where do you begin when you're learning to believe again?
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Today, I have Tiffany Dasher on with me. Welcome, Tiffany.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Before we go any further, I just want you to tell the audience a little bit about yourself now. What do you do?
Well, I am a mom of two kids. They're 8 and 6. I'm currently a server at a restaurant here in Collinsville, Ravenelli's. And that's pretty much what I do. I work and I take care of my kids. And I go to church in Swansea Life Church. And I go to Celebrate Recovery and some AA meetings. And I just try to stay busy. And I mean, that's pretty much all I do.
That's awesome. So I was lucky enough to be connected with Tiffany through a mutual friend who said, you have to have her on because she has an amazing story. So I'm going to kind of go back to the beginning and just ask, did you grow up knowing God or in church?
I did grow up in church, actually. Like, I've been going to the church I go to now. It used to be called Glad Tidings, but I've gone to that church all my life with my family, and I have grown up knowing God all my life. I definitely didn't have a relationship with God all my life. I really haven't had a relationship with God until recently, but I definitely have known God. So yeah. I have to thank my mom for that because she's had me in church all my life. So like it gave me a little foundation, but I have grown up knowing God.
That's awesome. So you grew up knowing about God, but not necessarily knowing him personally without the relationship.
Right.
So I know a little bit, and obviously you just shared that you have done AA and Celebrate Recovery. So obviously there was a period of time that either you kind of exited church or that you struggled. And, you know, this is the Learning to Believe Again podcast for a reason, because sometimes we have to believe again after periods. So could you tell us a little bit about that? Like what kind of happened that led you into using, I guess?
Like I pretty much ever since my senior year of high school, like that's when I really started drinking and using, and like I guess I was a pretty big partier until I got pregnant with my daughter. And during both of my pregnancies I didn't use or drink, but I did drink in between my pregnancies. I didn't drink a lot, but I would go out and drink every once in a while with my friends. And then after I had my son, I started working at a bar for a year, and I would try to not drink, but I would have really like bad episodes when I drank. Like when I would drink, it would always be a blackout and something bad would happen. And the last time I drank alcohol was actually December 1st of 2016, and I tried to commit suicide. So that was the last time I drank, and I did really good. I didn't drink or I didn't use for a while, and I don't know. I went about a year and a half to almost 2 years. I don't know the time period exactly, but I started working at a restaurant, and I started buying edibles, and I started buying pills from somebody, and then come to find out later the pills had meth in them. So that started my spiral with meth, and I was just really bad on these pills and really bad on edibles, and I was in a bad relationship with my husband. We really didn't see each other. He would come home, I would leave, and I actually had a girlfriend at the time for actually about almost 3 years, and I would go to her house. She did not know I was using. Nobody knew that I was using. People suspected, like my family suspected that I was using because like I just wasn't myself. I think that I was in denial. I thought that I was managing my life okay, but my life was really unmanageable. And then I met somebody that introduced me to like actual meth, and then I started doing meth, and then it was just really downhill from there. Like my life just really like was spiraling out of control. I ended up in the mental hospital 3 times within a year because I would come off of drugs and then I would want to die. Like it was just really bad. And I'm also I'm bipolar, so I was on a whole bunch of different medicines, but not being honest with my doctor about using drugs. So like the medicines weren't helping because I was on drugs and it was just really bad. And just like, I was just in just deep denial.
Yeah.
And so it was actually, September 1st of 2020, my relationship ended with my girlfriend and I got divorced on the same day.
Wow.
I was so messed up on drugs that like I didn't even know about my divorce court, so I didn't go. So I lost custody of my kids. I actually had pretty much went the whole summer of 2020 without seeing my kids.
That's so
I probably saw them a couple times. I had resorted to, I had gotten in trouble for stealing. I stole from stores. I stole from my parents. I had stolen their debit card and stolen money from them. I had stolen from the person I was in a relationship with. Like I had ended up honestly totally became a person that I really wasn't. Like I had ended up prostituting myself for drugs and money. Like it was just really bad. And so I ended up, so I lost my, my relationship ended and my mom picked me up that day and I ended up back in another mental hospital. And of course that wasn't the fix. I was in there for about 5 days and I got out and, my mom, she was persistent for about a year on me going away to this program called Adult and Teen Challenge. And I still wasn't ready to go. So I was pretty much homeless and I was staying with a friend. I'd stay with my parents. I stay with this guy friend who I was doing meth with, and I still wasn't ready to get clean. So I bounced back and forth and I did this until December 6th of 2020, when I finally got clean. So I finally got clean then, but I still wasn't okay. Like I got clean, but I didn't want to live. Like I wanted to die every day because I was so full of shame for all of the things I did when I was using.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just wasn't okay with myself. So finally on January 12th, of 2021, I went and moved into Diane's house, which is the women's program for Adult and Teen Challenge of St. Louis. And I didn't want to be there, but my mom told me if I went away to this program, I would have a place to live when I got out.
Yeah.
So I went away to that program and I didn't know that God was going to use that program to help save my life.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's all about God in that program. Like we they get into the word there and that's all you do. I mean, you're in the word constantly and they pray and it's just, you heal through God there. Yeah. So like their program is you can go for 4 months or a year. And I went for the 4 month program and it was just, it took a couple months of me being there to really surrender and really give it my all and like let God work in my life. And that's when I really started to get a relationship with God again.
Yeah. So you said again, did you have a relationship when you were younger that you just kind of felt separated from at some point?
When I was younger, I mean, I went to church because that's what I had to do. And I was going to church. I was going to church before I started using again. And when I started using again, I stopped going to church. Yeah. So I probably didn't go to church for, I wouldn't say like a year. It's hard for me to put a time on stuff because it just happened so fast. Like the drugs just took over so fast and I lost myself so fast.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions kind of going with that. I'm going to just start by saying it's so hard when you're in a situation with something that's mind altering, you know. I don't think it matters how strong you are. You can't have something mind altering and not have it affect you.
I've been in like the NA program. Like I've been in recovery for probably like 15 years.
Yeah.
It started with needing to quit drinking. Mm-hmm. And using, because it's been, I mean, I started drinking and using when I was like 17 years old.
Right.
So it's been a battle that long.
So I have a question because I know that, and it varies for every person. I think people can get sucked into alcohol and drugs just because, you know, they experiment and then it's hard to kind of shift. But I know a lot of people end up using because of something inside them that they're trying to numb out or that feels broken or empty. So I'm curious, since you started using so young too, was it something inside you that made you feel like you needed to use, or was it more that you just kind of got sucked down a path that you didn't really want to go down?
Really, it's because like in high school, I didn't have like a whole lot of friends, and then I made friends and I made friends that drank. So I tried drinking with them. And the first time I drank, I didn't have one drink. The first time I drank a 6-pack and a half of a fifth. And that's where it started. And I've never in my life just had like one or two drinks. It's just, I started over the line. I never crossed the line.
Yeah.
And I had a great childhood with my mom and my stepdad, but my biological father, I mean, he is an addict and I've really never had him in my life. So I don't know if I take after him or if like not having him in my life, I mean, hurts. But I never sat and thought, oh, like this sucks and this hurts and I don't want to feel this.
Right.
I don't know if that subconsciously had something to do with it.
Yeah.
But I never used and thought, I don't want to feel.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's hard and some days I do struggle and I don't want to feel. And I feel like I want to get high. But I don't. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's a hard one. I think we're driven by a lot subconsciously that we don't realize. And it's kind of like bringing it back to God. You know, God has this design for our lives that's perfect, but people are not perfect.
Right.
And even the best people are not perfect, you know? So things happen in our lives and even in our families' lives, I think, that affect us in ways that we don't necessarily fully know until we kind of unravel some of that with God over time and learn to kind of take back the wheel, so to speak, so that the subconscious isn't driving it.
I mean, and I always grew up saying like mom's sister was killed when I was 6 years old by a drunk driver. And I always grew up saying, like, I won't ever drink and drive. I'll never drink and drive. And then that's what I did. Like, I got 3 DUIs. Like, I would drink and drive all the time. And I always said I would never do that.
Yeah. It's hard to keep promises to ourselves when something else is taking over. And like you said, shame. I think shame is such a huge driver when it comes to addiction, because it's like a cycle, right? Who knows why it starts, but then the shame that goes with it gives a reason to numb it out.
And when I went away to treatment, like that first couple months, I had a lot of shame. And that being clean, it was just really hard because like I had to deal with that shame. And I mean, I still have some shame every once in a while, but I know that God doesn't want me to have that shame.
No, shame's a liar. I always say that shame is the greatest distance between two people and between people and God. And it's not meant to be there. It's not meant to be there because he knows who we are and who he made us to be. And we're perfectly and wonderfully made. And even through our mistakes, you know, he still chose to give his son for us. Right. Knowing not only everything that had already been done to sin against him, but everything that would be done. And he loved us that much because he knows who he created us to be. And so much of the time, the greatest distance between us and God or us and other people is shame. And shame's a liar.
Yep. That's so true.
And it just made me think of this verse. He will take your shame and give you double honor.
Oh, that's a good one. I've never heard that before.
I'll have to send that to you after. I can't remember the address. I'll have to look it up, but it's definitely a good one. So I also, you had said that you were buying edibles and pills. So I'm assuming from what you said that, did you think they were all marijuana?
No, like I thought the pills were ecstasy. So that's what I thought they were. And they were giving me energy. Like they wouldn't mess me up. They would just give me energy. But like, so I was addicted to the energy it was giving me. And then I found out that it was meth, but I was addicted to it. So I didn't care after I found out what it was.
Right. So skipping ahead, I guess I was asking about that because I just thought, you know, you thought you were getting one thing and here it was, you know, bait and switch, you were being given something else that affected you so much more than you expected. But skipping ahead, I want to focus in on God. One, what was your driving force to stop using? I know you said you were still struggling when you first did, but what was that moment where you just realized, I can't do this anymore?
Well, like the last time I used, I didn't get high. Like I used a lot. I think I wanted to die, but I didn't feel anything. And I was using with another friend and mm-hmm. she was really suicidal. And I think that God kept me from feeling the effects of the drugs so I could be there for her. And it really just opened my eyes. And it was just that I just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to die. Mm-mm. I didn't want the kids to lose their mom. And I just couldn't do it anymore. Like I was exhausted. Like I was running, for over a year and like how I was living, just living at different places and just not really having a home. I just couldn't do it anymore. I was exhausted and I was just tired of just living the life that I was living. It was just too much. And like, I was just ready to be done. And then I didn't want to go away. Like at first, I was told it was a 30-day program, and then I found out it was a 4-month program. So then that kept me out there running longer mm-hmm. because I found out in September that it was a 4-month program instead of a 30-day program. So of course, then I just went out and just used some more, which that is not an excuse. That's just what I did. But, I didn't want to feel like I wanted to die anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even think I was using for fun. I think I was just trying to die.
That's so hard. But thank God at the same time that he got you to a place of just, I don't want this anymore. This, you know, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's like you said, only God could keep you from getting high in that moment to have clarity, to see what was going on.
I just couldn't hurt my family. Like, I didn't want to hurt my kids anymore. I didn't want to hurt my family anymore.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't want to hurt myself anymore. Like, I just knew that I was worth more than what I was doing to myself.
Yes. Yes.
Because I couldn't even look in the mirror. Like, I couldn't even look in the mirror anymore. Like, I hated what I saw in the mirror every day. And I just didn't want that anymore.
Yeah. So when you got into the Diane house, obviously, from what you shared, that's when things really started shifting for you, right?
Yeah.
So what did that look like as you started diving into the word? Like, is there a moment that you can go, wow, that moment, I really just felt God's presence and love in a way that I hadn't, or an aha moment in reading or experiencing there?
There was one day, and like, I have it written down. I don't know where it is, but I have it written down, where we had to do, like, we would do meditations in the morning, and then we would journal and we would do different things. And one of our instructors had us write to God and then write back what God said to us. And I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous. Like, God's not going to say anything to me. And like, I just remember writing, and I was just writing and not even thinking about it. And I read back what God just said to me, and it was God actually spoke to me. And it was just to hang on, and just like that things would get better. And it was just so that God spoke to me so much, and it was, he actually spoke to me.
Yeah.
And it completely changed my perspective about being there. And it just was the most amazing thing. And it was just, and then within the next few days too, it's just like God spoke to me through the Bible. And it's just like, it was just, it was a couple months in, but it was just, it was just, and I got baptized on, I think February 12th there. We got baptized in the hot tub, which was cool. Like, I don't care that it was in the hot tub. It was an amazing experience.
Yeah.
And I just completely gave my life to God that day.
That's amazing. You know, our pastor talks about how back in the biblical days, before Jesus came and then died and came back, that people had these crazy God experiences, you know, the burning bush and these audible voices and things of God speaking to them or moving them or shifting them, and these crazy signs and wonders, and how people can get so caught up in that, you know, wanting that kind of sign and wonder. But really, he says, but think about the people in the Bible days. They didn't have the Holy Spirit yet, because when Jesus came back, he said, I'm leaving you, but you're going to get something greater. You're going to get the Holy Spirit. In the Bible days, you know, Old Testament days, the only time they had the Holy Spirit was when God came upon them or did that. But we have the ability to talk to him all the time.
That's cool.
And our pastor just says, you know, we think that it's so cool, the signs and wonders that they saw and the way that God spoke to them. But if they were to talk to us, they would say, what's it like to have God inside you all the time? So I think that's so powerful, you know, that you realized that he was there with you and that he would speak to you. I believe that God speaks to us more than we ever recognize. And it's just an opening up to that.
Right.
And realizing that he sees you, that he's been with you, that he loves you and continues to be with you, you know, and that he wants to speak to you and have that relationship. So powerful.
It was very powerful. And I remember in the woman that was running Diane's house at the time, she told me to write it down on an index card and carry it around with me. And I did carry it around with me, but now I don't know what I did with it, but I still have it somewhere written down.
And you probably remember what it said anyway.
I don't remember all of what it said, but I remember some of what it said.
The points that matter the most to you, probably. That's amazing. So since then, how has your life shifted? And what redemption have you experienced so far already? Because it really hasn't even been that long that you've gotten to experience that love and redemption and just peace of God again, right?
Right. Well, it's just been, it's been hard. Like, I've had hard times. It's hard being back in the real world. Like, there, you know, you spend all your time in the Word and with God, and then you get back in the real world, and then you're busy with life. And, but like, I've been back in my kids' life again, and I get to see God work through their lives, and I get to see God work through my life every day. And it's just really awesome, you know? And yeah. I even get to see God work through my life at work, you know,
yeah.
Because even though I'm having a bad day, and if I want to drink or if I want to get high, like, you know, I have people at work that pray with me, which
That's
is really
amazing.
Awesome. And like, I've had people put in my path that I need in my life.
Yeah.
Which is really awesome. And it's just, God's just always working in my life. And it's just really amazing.
I love that. And it's so true. He is so good to bring people that we need and situations that we need and to be there with us through hard stuff.
And I really like Celebrate Recovery. Like, Celebrate Recovery is really awesome. Like, I love going and doing the praise and worship. And it's just, I've met some really awesome people there too.
That's awesome. Now, I know a little bit about Celebrate Recovery, but just in case our audience doesn't, what is Celebrate Recovery?
So Celebrate Recovery is like AA and NA. Like, they talk about the 12 steps, but everything really is centered around God. And you share there, and it's like a meeting, but it's just God focused. And they do praise and worship before, and it's just really focused around God, which is really awesome.
That's awesome. And people can do that through churches, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if somebody listening wanted to get involved in a Celebrate Recovery, is there a way to look it up online, or would they just go to their local churches and ask?
Like, they can search Celebrate Recovery online, and you can look and they can find Celebrate Recovery in their area.
Awesome. So before we finish out now, I just want to ask you, is there one thing, like one nugget, one bit of truth, one piece of hope that you would like to impart to our audience? I know sometimes we share our whole story and there's so many gold nuggets that people can pull, but if you wanted to give the audience one thing to hold on to, what would that be?
Like, no matter how many times you fall, like, God is always there to pick you back up. It doesn't matter how many times you fall, you can always get back up and you can always start over.
Yes, that is so true. So true.
Because I've fallen so many times and God has always been there to pick me back up.
And to love you every step of the way.
And God has never stopped loving me.
That is so
good. He even loved me whenever I was at my worst and I didn't love myself. He loved me when I couldn't love myself, and he loved me until I could love myself again.
Yes. Yes. God will never leave or forsake you, no matter where you go.
That's so true.
I love that. I just want to close us out in prayer, and I want to pray for you, if that's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. Of course.
Awesome. Lord, we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for Tiffany, God. Thank you for the blessing that her life is. We thank you, God, that her story is going to touch people and save more than just her, Lord. We thank you, God, for the work that you have done in her life already, for how much you love her, and for the work that you are still doing in her life. We thank you, God, that even as you are healing her and redeeming her life in deeper ways and giving her back the years that the locusts ate, as it says in Joel, Lord, that you are also using her experiences, her life, and her story, and her love for you, God, to bring other people to freedom, to save the lives of many. God, we know that you take everything that the enemy meant for evil and you turn it around and you use it for good. And we thank you, God, that every place that Tiffany walked, even in the darkest places, God, that you will use those things for good, that you will turn them around in her life, that you continue to do that, God. And we pray for so many more blessings and so much more healing to come to her life. And we thank you, God, for what you are doing, for how you are moving and how you are working. And we thank you, God, that through it all, you will save the lives of many. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us, Tiffany. I really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this.
Well, thank you for having me. Like, I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us, everyone. I will talk to you next week. Have a good one. When you're